Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. And just to review what our schedule is going to be through the holidays is we are going to have our programs on Mondays and Tuesdays and not Thursdays and Saturdays. So we will not be having a program this Thursday morning or Saturday morning, but we will have programs Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then no program on Thursday or Saturday, and then we will start up our regular schedule on January 5th. So that's Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays at 7:30 and Saturdays at 9. And again, our schedule is based around following a particular topic on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, a topic for each one of those days, a series. And then on Saturdays, we're dealing with topics and series and feedback and questions and answers that don't fit into one of the Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday series. So if you've got questions you'd like addressed, feel free to drop me a line, and we'll work them in. If they fit into one of the other topics, we'll fit them in during that time, try to address them, or we will address them on Saturdays. And just as a reminder, we do have the books are available that we're sort of following along. Obviously, we're able to cover a lot more material during the radio programs, but if you don't want to wait until we hit that particular topic, you can look into the book series, and I do suggest you getting all three of the series because they're intertwined. You can't really get the full content of any one book without reading and understanding the issues given in the other two books. God rarely does anything in isolation in us. He's not just working on one thing. And if we are trying to, you know, do one thing at a time and he's working on 10, we can actually be interfering with what he wants to do with us. So the more we can understand about the way he works in us and rest in that and learn to depend, either we can cooperate with him or at least not interfere or hinder what he's doing in us. So I encourage you to go to the site on the profile page. There's a link there if you're interested in purchasing the books. There's a series of three, and the order form is fairly simple. You can purchase online. Basically, what these are, or you can use the form to send the information via snail mail. So what we have been discussing for quite some time now is forgiveness. And we aren't going to review at this point why it's so important. If this is a new topic for you, I'd suggest you go back and review previous archived segments on Tuesdays. We've been talking about forgiving God, and recently we're just going to be tying up forgiving others. And we talked at great length last week about the distinction between freeing someone by forgiving them, and we forgive because we are a forgiving person. It has nothing to do with either our feelings or our decision or our beliefs, and it has nothing to do with whether the other person asks us to forgive them or apologizes or we think they're sincere or even changes their behavior. We now forgive because we are a forgiving person. And we looked at the distinction between holding someone accountable to us, that when we forgive them, we free them from being accountable to us. We release them from having an expectation of them changing. And how that's different from then taking responsibility for making decisions for ourselves. And one of the examples we were looking at is in, say, an abusive relationship where both are Christians. There's this notion that, say, if someone was either abusive or, you know, committing adultery, that the other spouse is obligated to forgive and stay in the marriage. They are, because they are both Christians, say the hurt spouse, the spouse that has been wronged, it's not an obligation to forgive, but because they are a Christian, they now forgive. And let's go ahead and be clear, just for the sake of our illustration, we'll talk about the husband being the one who's abusive and in an adulterous relationship. And often the wife is told that she has to forgive and can just continue on regardless of whether he changes or not. Or that because she has forgiven, he is now obligated to change. And neither one of those is an accurate portrayal of what forgiveness is. And because we have a misunderstanding of both forgiveness and judgment, what it means to judge, to evaluate. Judgment is not a negative term. It's an objective term. We evaluate. When you come to a stop sign and you don't know where you're going and you evaluate, do I want to go to the left or you go to the right? You are judging. There's no negative or positive connotations to that. You are evaluating. You are using the information you have and looking at it and evaluating and making a decision based on the information you have. So we have to get away from judgment being a, you know, negative term, that we are not to judge or we will suffer God's judgment. Well, those are all very objective terms. There's no negative connotation. God will judge you righteous. You've already been judged, evaluated, righteous. So we have nothing to fear from God's judgment, and we have nothing to fear from judgment in general, period. So we are also learning how to judge our situation. In a situation where we've been discussing, the wife then frees her husband to be abusive, to continue in his adultery. He is free to not change to accommodate her. He is then free to for God to deal with and free to suffer the consequences of his actions. In other words, the emotion is taken out, and he is set free to live any way he chooses. He cannot use her decisions or projected beliefs as an excuse or a motivation to change or not to change. So he's got choices to make about whether he wants to continue to live the way he's been living. But she does not hold him accountable for those decisions. He is not accountable to her because she has forgiven. He can choose to stay in the relationship, or he can choose to continue in the adultery. He can choose. He can make choices. But here's the thing. So can she. She can choose based on her evaluation of the situation what she wants to do in that situation. Does she want to? Does she choose to continue in that relationship? Now, in our example, if I was talking with someone, basically it is inappropriate and is not healthy. And God does not want us to remain in bondage. and in an abusive situation or in a relationship where trust has been broken, that is slavery. That is bondage. And when we have an opportunity to get out from under that, we are to take that opportunity. So that's where I would start with, is that you check with God about, you know, your decisions as you move forward, but you start with the presumption that you objectively have evaluated the situation and it is bondage to stay in that situation. You can't change the other person, and it's not your job to hold them accountable. You are accountable for your decisions. You hold yourself accountable for your decisions, not the decisions of the other person. Okay? Hopefully that's clear. And once we can start getting this into us, where we do not look to one another to hold us accountable, we do not look to one another to let us know how we're doing. Now, God may use other people to encourage us, to give us that little, you know, feedback, but we recognize that that's not coming from that other person, that the ring of truth comes from God. But because we're in a relationship, let's use the employer-employee situation. If you find out your boss is stealing, or not, you know, is cheating on his taxes, and say you're an accountant, you have a choice. You go to your boss and you tell them that you know what's going on. Now, odds are, as an accountant, you have probably signed a privacy document that you will keep the books, you know, private and within the company. But you also have an obligation when you know someone is committing a crime. Well, say this is a ministry, and this has happened many, many times. You find out that there's, you know, tax evasion going on. And as an accountant, you know what's going on, and you see what's going on, and you have a loyalty to the company you're employed with, but you also know that there's a higher loyalty here involved. And so you take all the emotion out. You take out all the Christianese. You take out the ministry part, and you forgive them. You forgive them for betraying the trust by committing a crime, and you forgive them for disappointing you and anything else that you need to forgive them for. And then you objectively make a decision, not about what can you do to make them change. Because once you confront them and once you forgive them, that's all you can do to make that other person change. Okay, it's not your job to fix the beliefs or the actions of another person. Once you've done what you can, they are then left to choose. And say you give them some time. I'm going to give you some. Now, they may take that time to hide everything. And that's your choice, too. So, but you have to then decide, what am I going to do? What are my choices and my options? Now, and the same type of thing is you start with, as a citizen of the world, I start with the supposition that since I see a crime going on, it is my duty as a citizen to report it to the proper authorities. Because you've forgiven them, you've already fulfilled all Christian responsibility and duty towards your employer. Okay? So that they are a, you know, what we hide behind is that brother in Christ thing. You know, since, you know, that it's a bad thing to take them before the law, the civil judges, the civil law. But you've already taken them before God. Okay? This is a civil matter. This is a legal, a natural matter. You have the authority to take them to the civil court, to the government. You take them, you take the situation to the authority of the realm in which the crime is being committed. If it's a supernatural crime, supernatural laws apply, and you deal with it on a supernatural level. If it's a natural crime, natural laws apply, and you deal with it on a natural level. Okay? In the spirit, no crimes can be committed, so there are no spiritual laws, and so there's no dealing or needing to solve any issues. So all these kinds of issues are going to be on the supernatural and the natural realms. And in this, both of these kinds of situations, in one sense they're relational, but once that's dealt with by forgiving them, it's all about the natural laws. What natural laws are being broken? In the marriage situation, if a wife is being abused, you know, for instance, physically, or adultery is being committed, that's all on the natural realm. And her options are going to be on the natural realm. You know, divorce is a natural response. Leaving is a natural response and an appropriate response to, you know, those actions and the behaviors in the natural realm. Now, there'll be solical responses. You know, emotions will go all kaflooey, and other choices and decisions and thoughts will all have to be dealt with. But what it comes down to is physically removing yourself from the situation. And likewise with our accountant, when he sees something illegal happening, it is a legal physical law that is being broken and that has to be responded to on that same level, to the appropriate laws that govern that realm. In other words, that God, that they're both Christians, no longer enters into it. You've taken care of that. That by forgiving them, by releasing them unto God. So, if they end up being arrested and exposed and yada yada yada, and end up going to prison, the accountant that exposed them, because it was never about them being a Christian, it was only about their actions and behavior. So that person, they may be accused by others in churches, in that church, in that ministry, you know, for, you know, exposing God's, you know, ministry, how much he hurt the ministry. Well, that was not his responsibility. We look at, okay, where can I respond appropriately? And then you make your decision, and then you act on it. You can't change others, but you can remove yourself from that situation and deal with it appropriately. And as we learn how to do that, what we do is we free God to work with so many in these positions. You know, odds are that the reason that head of that ministry was able to do what he was doing was because everybody else does it. And that they just, you know, wink and turn a blind eye because they are in the ministry, because they're a Christian, because they've not been taught how to make decisions for themselves, and how they've never been held accountable for their behavior in the appropriate venue. In so many churches, there's boards that know what's going on behind closed doors. But if it ever got out from behind those closed doors, the church would go under. And so that stuff keeps going on. And then when maybe it does get out, trust is not only broken about that particular church, that particular ministry, but about Christianity in general. And it should be. But the point is that as individuals, you and I need to learn how to objectively judge and evaluate and then act, make our own decisions, whatever that is. we come up with, this is the appropriate decision, and then we take it to God. God, is this what I should do? In our accountant's case, he may say, you know, Lord, this is what I see happening. This is what the law, you know, tells me to do. This is what I'm planning on doing. I'm planning on taking, you know, finding a lawyer and going to, you know, the IRS with this information. What are your thoughts on this? And once we've made our decision, we can objectively put that before God. Because, again, in important issues, we have such a hard time hearing from him clearly, that the more we can make those decisions, you know, these are my choices, God, A, B, or C. Or, this is what I want to do. Is this okay, yes or no? The more clear and simple we can make our questions to God, the more likely we are to be confident in the decision, in what we are hearing from him. But that takes being able to take authority and take responsibility, be accountable to ourselves, make decisions on ourselves, for ourselves. So this is one of the reasons it's so important that we learn to forgive others and yet put judgment in its proper objective place. It's not bad. It's evaluating, an evaluation of the situation, and then making a decision, an objective decision. What do I do? I can't tell the other person what to do. I can maybe make suggestions. For instance, in the husband and wife situation, you know, say the husband does, you know, is willing to give up his adultery and stay with the wife. Now the wife can then, here's what you need to do. You've broken my trust. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. It has nothing to do with judgment, because the truth is on the table. And that objective evaluation now can continue. You've broken my trust. Here is what you need to do to rebuild it. I want to have all your, you will never be late from work again. All receipts will be given to me. Anytime you want to spend money, you have to ask me first. All cell phone records have to go through me. I will be paying all the bills. You will be accounting for every minute of your day. When you get in your car to go to work, you will call me from the road. When you get to work, you will call me. And we will be going through counseling, and you will meet every appointment. Anything that she wants, well, gosh, you know, that's an awful lot to expect. Well, a lot of trust has been broken. And she can, whatever she believes will help her rebuild that trust, will in which he will rebuild that trust. He has something he then has to do to regain that trust. And then it's his choice about whether he does it or not. Well, how long should he do it? That's up to her. And if we started, again, acting like adults in these, especially marriage relationships, there would be a lot less divorce. There would be a lot less adultery and misbehavior, a lot fewer broken homes, because people would know that there would be actual objective consequences to their actions, where they had to, they couldn't blame their wife. Well, my wife left me because, you know, she was so cold, I went and found somebody else who accepted me the way I was. You know, when we go into these relationships looking that God's going to hold the other person accountable, you know, because we got married, God's going to make sure that the marriage stays together. That's not from him. We've put these responsibilities off on him, and he's like, look, you guys were the ones who got married. So the more we learn to live like adults, and we then learn how forgiveness works, it sets people free on both sides. For instance, in the accounting situation, what would that look like? Say the accountant goes to the boss and says, you know, I know what's going on here. You know, you can't be claiming this as non-profit. This is profit, and you need to be paying taxes on it. And the boss says, everybody does it that way. And you say, well, you know, everybody may do it that way, but it's still illegal. And the boss says, well, I'm not going to make any changes. And then he said, okay, well, then I'll have some decisions I have to make. And so maybe the boss comes back a couple days later and says, you know, I've been thinking about what you said, and let's go ahead and refile back taxes. Everything's solved then, isn't it? Because that's all all it is. It's not about, you know, it's not a Christian thing. This process, in the same way with the marriage, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, in those relationships, those are all natural and supernatural relationships. There's no, the spirit is not involved. Because remember, there's in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. This marriages and business relationships and ministry relationships, these relationships are, shall we say, earthly relationships. Our spirit, if you are in God in your spirit, and I am in God and in spirit, we are all one. There doesn't need to be any additional natural relationship. You know Paul and Moses and anyone in God right now fully and completely without ever having met them in the natural. And we're not going to get too distracted by that, but the whole point being is that one of the benefits, one of the results of understanding forgiveness will bring us individually into a need, a greater need for decision making. And leadership, one of the things we talk about a lot is leadership is so lacking. We think a leader is someone who can teach the Bible or who has an idea from God and can convince other people to follow that, to do it. And we forget that every single one of us, once we become a Christian, is a leader. And we are, each one of us, needing to learn how to lead, how to exercise authority, how to rule and reign in this earth now. So when we forgive others, we are being a leader. When we make our own decisions objectively, we are being a leader. A leader is not someone who can get others to follow them. Sometimes that's a salesman. If I can get you to buy what I'm selling, doesn't make me a leader. And so that's the other part of what we start evaluating. We take out this whole notion of everything having, you know, God's tentacles or oversight, and taking on instead personal responsibility, personal accountability, and learning to evaluate, judge appropriately according to the realm, the legal realm, making those decisions and then abiding by them. That gets the emotions out, that deals with the wounds, and we can move forward and objectively. So Thanks for tuning in. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll be getting back together again on next Monday at 7:30. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.